those in Christ to go on. It really is, to their eternal reward. We're going to, before I get in the message, you see, God is enough. You can turn to 2 Kings. And our kids, maybe the adults too, might enjoy this. This is just a very short clip of the story we're going to be reading about. It's an animated clip. But it's very powerful, actually. I think it is. So kind of sets you up for what we'll talk about tonight. So go ahead and play that, Jeremy.
This is your last chance. Pay your debt.
What do you want from me? Look! Nothing. Not even a morsel of food for my two sons. My husband is dead. I have nothing to give you.
I'm afraid you're wrong about that.
What are you doing? Stop it!
Your sons belong to me now, and they will work until your debt is paid, even if it takes 100 years.
Wait!
You've had your chance.
No! No! Give me 2 weeks. I know someone. I'm sorry to burden you, Elijah. I know you don't have any money.
You can say that again.
Tell me, what do you have in the house? Anything of worth?
Nothing. A small pot of oil for making bread.
Go, borrow empty pots from your neighbors, as many as you can. Then take your small pot of oil and pour it into the others. I promise you, in the name of the Lord, you will have enough to fill all the pots.
If you say so, Elijah, then it will be. Quick! Another!
It's a miracle.
Is it enough to pay the debt?
It's enough to start a whole new life. God has saved us. Always remember, my sons, how God saved us.
Isn't that good? Kind of gives you a visual, don't it, of what really happened in 2 Kings. Because this is a true story. They took their sons to pay off the debt, was the custom, until it was worked off. But God did make a way. So turn to 2 Kings with me as we get into this. Yeah, it's just 7 verses tonight. And talking about God is enough. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman on the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said to her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thy handmaiden hath not anything in the house except a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon you and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and they shall set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet another vessel. He said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed, which means stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, pay the debt, and live you and your children of the rest. What a wonderful story of God's miraculous supply, of how God made a way. Not only was her debt paid, as we read, but she had enough to live on the rest of her life. Because we know God doesn't do things halfway. God does it right. Now, some points I want to point out in this and how it applies to us today is we have to understand that God, that our expectation determines God's supply. It's that simple. Our expectation determines God's supply. How much do we believe for? How much do we believe God can do? Do we believe God can heal us? Do we believe God can pay, help us with our money? Do we believe God can you know, save our child? Do we believe God can, you know, open that door? What do we really believe God for? We read story after story, week after week, month after month, and year after year of the miracles of God. We read this word, there's miracles from beginning to end of God's miraculous power, His provision. And each time we see that God was enough, that nothing needed to be added to that, that we just need to be an obedient vessel, trusting who God is and what He can do for our lives. We don't have to see how He's going to do it. We don't have to understand how He's going to do it. We just have to believe He can do it. That God can do what He says He will do. If we believe verses like this, God, You'll never leave me or forsake me, but You'll be with me all the ways to the end of the world. We quote that verse. If I really believe God is with me forever and is not going to forsake me, then shouldn't I believe He can sustain for me and supply for me? If I really believe, Lord, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I really believe I'm more than a conqueror, and I really believe, you know, that above all You wished I blessed and be prosperity and my soul prosper. If I believe all of that stuff, I've got to believe He can meet my needs. And many of us are searching in wrong places for our needs to be met instead of just going to the One that can do it. God, You can do it. And and I've learned this in my journey through many things in my life, through personal trials and through family and through ministry, just different things in my own life, that there are points we get to where we truly have to trust God for it. We truly get to a point that we can't fix it or change it. We have to say, God, You got to step in and do something, just like this widow woman. She was at the end of her rope. There was no answer, nothing to give these creditors. She had nothing to offer but one little pot of cooking oil. That's all she had. But see, her faith was big. Her expectation was big because the prophet told her, go get vessels. Don't get a few. Get as many as you can and go fill them up. So I'm sure she went from door to door to door activating her faith. We talk about that all the time, that faith without works is dead. She could have just got lazy and went home. Well, He didn't give me no money. He didn't write me a check. You know, and I'll just go home because I'm not going to bother my neighbors. I'm not going to go all that traveling around trying to get vessels. And they go ask me, what's wrong? We need a vessel for something going on. Are you broke? Da-da-da-da. I don't want to get in all that with my neighbor. You know how gossipy they are. So I'm just going to go home and forget it all. But she didn't. She went and she borrowed empty vessels. See, there had to be something to pour something into. And she poured all that she had. She gave all that she had and God took care of the rest. See, all God wants from us is for us just to give Him all that we can. Give Him all who we are. Surrender all of our lives to Him, and He will take care of the rest. He's laid out the road for us. All we got to do is just give ourselves to Him. Now, this story to me is so inspirational because we see God show up in a way where there's no other way could have been helped but this way. Nothing else could have changed the situation but God stepping in and fixing it. You know, we see stories all throughout the Bible where God was the one, the only one that got credit for it. You know, we see where God, of course, parted the Red Sea. We see where God destroyed Pharaoh's army. We see where God took a prisoner, a felon, and made him a prince. We see where God took man-eating lions and shut their mouths for a night so Daniel was safe. We see where God took a little shepherd boy with no experience or no military background and destroyed a giant that everyone else was afraid of. We've seen God raise the crippled in the New Testament. Those that hadn't ever walked, God healed them. Those that were blind, God healed them. Those that were deaf, God healed them. We've seen God take the demonic man possessed in the graveyard, and when he approached them, the demons, and he cast them out, and the demons fled into a herd of swine, and the man was set free. That he was set free to such a point, the people, his contemporaries, didn't even know who he was. He went back in town, and they didn't even know he was the same person. That's what a transformation that was. We've seen what God can do. God is enough for your situation. God alone is enough. If we will just turn to Him and bring ourselves, our vessel, and we empty all of our junk out and say, God, pour in Your oil into my life. Pour in Your wine into my life. Give me, God, what I need. I make myself available for Your service. I give myself away to You, God. Take over and do something with that. God is enough in our lives if we will truly trust that He's enough. There's a lot of places we can go to. I believe in other avenues. I believe in counseling, and I believe in, you know, books that help us and all that. But it comes down to this. It comes down to truly saying, God or bust at times. God, it's you or bust. There's no other option. There's no other way that I can be healed but through you. There's no other way I can get my deliverance but through you. There's no other way I can get peace. You know, we can do all the things we want, try to get peace. We can go out in the world and try to do junk to get peace. We can take yoga classes and try to hum our way into peace. But the only true peace comes from the peace giver. The only true joy comes from the joy giver. Think about the experiences we see and the examples Jesus used. When he was on the boat and the waves were crashing, the wind was blowing, and all of them were afraid. And Jesus walked out there and with one word spoke, "Peace be still," and the storm subsided. See, he is the peace that makes our storm subside. He is the peace that when everything around us is going chaotic, he calms us down. He is our nerve pill. He is our anxiety pill. God can just give us something that nothing else can quite give us. And we don't even understand it sometimes. We just have that peace, the Bible says, that passeth all understanding. I shouldn't be in peace, but I am. I shouldn't be. You know, when Melanie left her job about 9 months ago, she left her work, and we hadn't talked much about this publicly at the church, but, you know, she left her job, and she had nothing lined up, nowhere to go, just left. I mean, worked a notice, but left, and we talked about it. We prayed about it. She says, you know what? I've got this peace to walk away. There's a reason I'm walking away from this. And you know what? I trusted that. You know, I wasn't like Melanie when I quit my job and started a church and went, you sure that's God's voice you're hearing? I wasn't like it. I said, you know what, baby? You need to listen to that. There's a reason. If you know, we'll make it. Whatever we need to do, we'll make it somehow. Do what you're feeling. You know, and without going into detail, we can look back, and there's definitely reasons why God spoke to her to walk away, and we see that clearly now. But see, I mean, that took the peace of God to cause someone to walk away from a job and us lose half our income just because she says, I feel like I need to leave. Well, whoopity-doo. Suck it up, girl, and keep working. What do you mean, whoopity, you want to leave? No, I didn't say that. But that's, you know, I trusted that. I trusted that Melanie heard the voice of God. And so there was reasons for that. And that's only a peace God can give. If we'll just trust God and just take that step with him and say, God, you're enough. That's all I need to hear. Just give me that voice. Give me that direction. Give me that comfort. Give me that peace. Give me those words of truth that I need to hear that only you can give me in my life. That only you can give me. This widow woman had nowhere to turn but to a man of God. Nowhere to turn. So Elijah, and I'm sure his reputation preceded him. She knew the miracles that had been done through Elisha. And so she went to him. I need help. Can you help me? I need a miracle, Elisha. I need a miracle. Have you got something to help me? Sure. What have you got? And then he gave her the... And here's the thing. She obeyed what the prophet told her to do. See, obedience is very imperative to get the blessing of God. I mean, we have to obey when God speaks. We can't just sit back and think about it. We have to obey it. We have to step out and say, God, this is what you told me to do. I'm going to do it. And as we take those steps of obedience, we begin to see God's plan in our lives be realized. God is enough for whatever we need in our lives. All throughout the New Testament, we've seen how God was enough. I love the story of Peter and John, I think it was, when they were walking and the crippled man was at the gate begging of alms. He'd been crippled his whole life. And he's sitting there, you know, probably holding a sign, need help, whatever. Can you help me? And he looked at Peter and John, can you help me? Can you help? I need some money. Money's not what you need, because money can't fix your problem. But I do have what you do need. And what I have is God, and he's enough. So rise up, crippled man, and begin to stand, because God's passed your way today. Silver and gold you don't need. Silver and gold can't fix your problem. But what I have will fix your problem. In the name of our Lord, rise up and walk. And the Bible says his bones were strengthened, and he expected a hand out, but he got a hand up. And God touched him and healed him and raised him from his crippled state, because God is enough. We see that throughout the Word of God, and I find myself so mad at me because of the times I doubt God and the times I don't have peace or the times I have worry and fear and anxieties about tomorrow. We all have that, I know. Worrying about the future, worrying about our family, worrying about, you know, our money, worrying about our job, whatever it is, worried. the anxiety. I remember when we first started a church in the fire department, you know, Dad would, you know, call me every Sunday night, you know, with the offering total, you know. And I remember there for many, many, probably the first couple of years, it would stress me out. I'm like, that's all we got. My God. And I would just worry about it and worry about it. And then it's like one day, I don't know, this light bulb went off and it hit me. Son, I didn't call you into this if I wasn't going to take care of you. Quit worrying week to week. Just do what I've called you to do and everything's going to be all right. And I truly did. At that point, this burden lifted off of me. And we still have low weeks. But you know what? It doesn't. I'm telling you, Melanie, don't, I mean, I might, you know, tell Melanie, well, we can have a low week. That's all I say, isn't it? That's all I say. I don't go on about it. That's all I say. I'm a lot different. Because I'm like, you know what? So what? We had a low week. It won't be low forever. Something will happen. Just like I told you about the check we got from someone for $500 sent to our church. Don't even go here and come into a little bit of money and said, you know, I want to bless your church. Send us $500. God's always doing stuff like that. We've always got stuff like that happening. And so I had to learn to trust God, have peace, and say, God, I think you're a little bigger than my problem. I think you can take care of Living Word Ministries. I think you can take care of my family because, man, you take care of the whole world. When we see the vastness of God, truly how vast he is, our problems seem so small. I mean, really think about how small. I mean, it's like one grain of sand on all the beaches. You know, God's all the sand. We're one grain. God's pretty big. You know, we're one planet, but there's billions of other galaxies out there. And we're one little blue marble in the sky. We're pretty small in the vast of eternity. If God can do all the things we read about, if God can do all the miracles we preach about and we see in our Word of God, we ought to come to a point we really believe, God, you're still that God. Don't let people talk you out of these stories and these things we read about as being, you know, back then or folklore or myths or, well, that God don't operate the same way. God can operate any way that he wants to operate and provide any way he wants to provide. God could still cause grandma's kitchen to be filled with oil if he wanted to. I mean, if God knew I was coming for biscuits and she didn't have no oil, and says, what am I going to do? I had no gas to get the food line, and my son, grandson's coming over. I need biscuits, God. Just get the oil out. Keep pouring. I'll pour to James' expectation. God can still move any way he wants to move. This story should so inspire us to realize that when we are at a point of brokenness, a point of desperation, just know God's still there. Call on him. Believe in him. Trust him. Look to him. That's where our help comes from, the Bible says. It's from the Lord. He is our helper, and he is our protector, and he is our provider. In God, all things are possible. With God, nothing's impossible. God is enough for whatever we need. God is enough for our marriages. God is enough for our families. God is enough for our finances. God is enough for our mental well-being. God is enough if we'll go to him and ask him and tell him what we need. Because, see, our seasons changed. This woman's seasons changed. Our seasons changed. We need something different from God in different seasons of our lives, and he has it all for us. You know, you take someone like Virgil who's on the way out of this world in the natural. He needs something from God that Sierra doesn't need as she's going off to begin to start her own adult life. They're in polar opposite rims of the world. But the same God is able to provide the needs for each of these individuals. He carries Virgil across the Jordan. And he walks with Sierra every step she takes. The same God. God does not fail us. And God will never fail us. And like I said, I get frustrated with my own life. And I know, I think we all do, that, you know, we find ourselves complaining and grumbling and worrying and stressing instead of just having that peace that, God, I gave you my life. You're the Lord of my life. I trust you with my soul. I mean, I trust you so much that you're going to keep me from the flames of hell, right? I trust him that much. I trust him so much that when I take my last breath, I know I'm going to be in his eternal glory forever. That much I trust. if I can trust that deep into the future and trust in such a realm I've not yet seen, why is it hard for us to process that same belief in a realm we do see and something that is tangible here that God can provide for us, that God can take care of our needs, that God can pay our bills, that God can protect us, that when storms are all around us, somehow God protects us. You know, I go to bed at night, and like most of us, I don't have armed guards outside my house protecting my home at night with guns. I have God watching my home and God protecting my home. And I could go to bed at night, and I never fear that. I don't ever fear that. I don't ever lay there and think, what if somebody breaks in? What if somebody comes? And we see that home invasions are on the rise. I mean, that happens all around. But you know what? I trust that my God, when I turn them lights off and lock those doors, God says, go to sleep, my son. I'm on duty. And I can just rest and trust that my kids are safe, my dog's safe, Melanie's safe. That's the order I put her in there. That they're safe. God is enough. We need to rely more on His presence to sustain our needs. His presence is a live presence, a lively presence, not a dead presence. God's presence isn't something that we have to try to chant down or go to church to get, or hope if we cry loud enough or pray long enough, it'll arrive. His presence is something we carry with us every day. Are we walking in that presence to know, God, you're enough? Whatever I face in the morning, I wake up, you're going to be enough for it. When I go to work, whatever breaks loose at work, you're enough for it. Whatever I get in the mailbox, God, you're enough for it. Whatever the doctor says on my appointment this week, you're enough for it. Whatever I see in my family arise, you're enough for it. Whatever thoughts come to my head, you're enough, God, to cast those thoughts out to where I can have peace again and don't have to keep carrying that all around every day. You're enough. God is enough to break our strongholds. God's enough to break our addictions. God's strong enough to break our weaknesses. God is strong enough to deliver us. God is strong enough to protect us. And God is strong enough to provide for us. God alone is enough. And if our faith could arise to a higher expectation, we would get a greater supply from God. Because they're linked together. Completely, they're linked together. It's kind of like, okay. Anybody thirsty right now? Want a nice cold, crisp Coca-Cola? Anybody drink Coke? Oh, sweet tea. I'm sorry. Sweet tea. She drinks Coke. Anybody drink McDonald's sweet tea? We love sweet tea, right? Okay, Amanda comes in. She's been outside working, I don't know, trimming bushes at the cemetery. We don't have bushes, but if we did, she's trimming bushes. She's sweaty. She's hot. She's out there working hard. I'm over here, you know, in my office working. I look out there, and she's cutting stuff, and she's sweating. It's 95 degrees. I said, you know, I'm going to get her a cold sweet tea. She deserves that. So Amanda walks in the building, and I bring this cup to her. Here, Amanda, I seen you were thirsty, and I hand it to her. Oh, thank you. It's empty. Her expectation was a full glass of tea, right? Not sucking air. That's what she expects. See, our expectation determines everything. Our expectation. Do you really think that God's called us and they're not going to give us a full glass? Come all you that thirst, as Revelation says, right? Different places. I am the living water. All you that thirst, I will give you drink. Okay, God, here I am. And he hands me an empty glass. That's not going to happen. He quenches our thirst. He gives us what we need. So expect that. Come with great expectation. Don't come to God expecting him not to hear you. I mean, it goes against everything we believe, don't it? Do we sing any songs? God's not there. He never is. God is dead and never tells the truth. I mean, we don't sing songs like that. We sing songs that, God, you're here, and God, you can do anything, and God, you hear me when I pray, you hear me when I cry, you hear me when I laugh. God, you're always there. We sing songs promoting his presence. But we live our lives sometimes like his presence isn't real. Not really. It's only real on Sunday and Wednesday or in an emotional moment or watching a TV preacher or listening to K-Love it might come on us. But his presence is always with us. Everywhere we go. Let's be aware of that presence of God in us to say, I'm enough for what you're going to face. Every moment of your day, I'm enough. I know the phone call you're going to get. I know the news you're about to hear. I know the bills on the way. I know what's about to break into your life. And I'm enough for it. Just trust me and watch me do my thing. Watch me do my work. I do my greatest work. God does his greatest work sometimes. In the lowest parts of our lives, we see him do the greatest things, delivering us out of the snare, out of the trap, out of that darkness. When he just takes us out and we look back and like, God, I was there and now I'm here. Wow, you got me here because he's enough. This widow woman had a celebration moment with her children. I mean, God didn't just provide a little bit. He provided enough to secure her the rest of her days. Because she went and got many vessels. Her expectation was high of God. We put more expectations on our boss or on a boyfriend or a girlfriend or on a restaurant than we do God. We put all these expectations. But when it comes to God, sometimes we're not sure we expect him to do anything. Or I'm not worthy for him to hear me. Or, you know, he's probably helping somebody else right now. Or does he care? Yes, he cares. There's not a tear you shed God doesn't know you shed. Not one. There's not one moment of grief you have borne that God has not already experienced. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus bore our grief. Jesus bore our infirmities. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And by his stripes on that whipping post, I am healed. He knows what we're going through. And on the cross, the last words he uttered was, it is finished. It's enough. I've completed it. It's done. I'm enough for your life, whatever you need. We need to depend on God like we depend on other things in life. Have a higher dependency on God than we do the things we put dependency on here because they let us down. Man-made stuff will always let you down, but God won't. Preachers let you down. Teachers let you down. Workers let you down. Bosses let you down. I mean, your job can let you down. You'll be gone tomorrow. You never know what's going to happen. But God doesn't. God says, I'm faithful and I remain. Keep your eyes on the one who is and always will be. That's me. And I'm there. I'm enough for you. I'm enough to fix any problem. I'm enough to repair any damage. I'm enough to restore any person. I'm enough to save any soul. I'm enough to heal any body. I'm enough to provide and protect anything. I'm enough to calm any storm. I'm enough to deliver from any evil. I'm enough. He is enough. God is all that we need if our faith is in him. And I'm going to tell you what a great walk of peace and strength and joy we can have to know that. Because a lot of us, including myself, a lot of us, how you're made up, your genes, humanity part of you. There are some that worry, some that have anxiety, some that, you know, just are always, sometimes we can think too much. And Melanie will be the first to say, I'm an overthinker. I'll think something to death. And I wish I was more like Melanie, where I could just kind of let it roll off a little bit. But it's like everything that hits me sticks. I'm just walking around with all this stuff all the time. And if I can learn what I'm preaching tonight, well, God, you're enough. I don't have to walk around all this stuff stuck on me. I can let you have it and trust you. I mean, if I say I trust you, I got to trust you. See, trust, if I say I trust Melanie, you know, I trust my wife. But if I'm texting her every 3 seconds, who you with now? What you doing? What's his name? Where you at? Why at that gas station? You didn't tell me to go stop and get gas. Is somebody working there you like? What's going on? My hand's on E. It is the closest gas station. Oh, okay. Then she's 3 minutes late. Where are you at? 3 minutes late. That ain't trust. That ain't trust at all. I don't trust her if I'm doing that. Same way with God. If we trust God, we got to believe that he's working it out for us and he's doing what he's supposed to be doing in our lives and let his timing be his timing in our lives. And just let him have it. Picture this in your mind. What if you could physically lift your burden off right now? Lift the burden off and hand it to God. Amen. What if? The kids are priceless. Their timing's always perfect. What if God walked in this room right now in the flesh and says, I am God. Just bring me your burdens. I have my arms out. Y'all file up and you could physically just hear God. And you walk away. It's gone. That's what the Bible says we should do in 1 Peter. To cast all of our care upon him. For he careth for us. But that's a hard thing for us to do because we don't see the situation changing sometimes. Or we listen to the wrong voices sometimes. Or we repeat the same mistakes. You ever done that? Repeat the same mistakes over and over. So you keep yourself in a bad cycle. And you think you learned from that, but, you know, you didn't. Let God have it. Physically, just, God, here's my burden. I don't want to face it. Take it anymore. I'm giving it to you. And you know what? I'm going to walk free from this thing. I'm tired of being burdened down. Because in all these years, I ain't fixed it. So it's not working my way. So I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to have peace that if you are big enough, God, to save my soul from hell, if you're big enough, God, to protect me all these years, you're big enough, God, to give me and bless my family, my children, all these years, God, you've been big enough to provide my finances and keep me alive and keep me healthy. All these years, God, you've blessed me. If I can't trust you by now, will I ever really trust you? Something to think about. Trust that God is enough. I know Melanie was talking the day when Christian first started school. You know, she was the firstborn, the first child. When she first went to school, I remember Melanie was talking about this the other day, how scared she was of letting her go. She's so little. School's so big and bad. This is my little baby. I'm sending off to school. Because Christian started early. She started at 4, right? She was 4 years old when she started kindergarten. Her birthday fell. She started early. So here's the 4-year-old getting on the school bus. It hurt my story. Thanks. So I'm trying to do a dramatic theme here. In the snow, 3 miles with flip-flops. Okay. But just for the argument's sake, big yellow bus. Big, long, 30-foot bus, whatever. Little Christian. Look in the driveway. Little backpack. At the window. Doors closed. Bus. Takes off. So, she was so scared. And she told me she had to fight that for a little bit. Of letting her go, trusting, because she wasn't with her anymore. She had to trust her in other hands. And she had to pray about it. And she said, I prayed and talked to God about that. I really had to pray about it. And it says, like God just took this burden off of me and released it. And I was fine for that. Didn't worry about her no more. And the other two was like, ain't it time for you to start? So by that time, we're ready. But she took the burden off because God, Melanie went to God. That's the only remedy Melanie really had to give her the peace she needed to be able to let her go. So when we have that dependency on God, we can let him go. You know, we prayed for David Lee before we went off to the Marines. He was an 18-year-old young man. If you were still with us, if you were with us at the church at that point, that's been about 6 years ago now. He walked up front that morning, his last service here before we went off to Paris Island. He walked up here. We laid hands on him and prayed for him. That God would protect him and bring him safely back home in one piece, sound. Now, I know I wasn't the parent in that situation. And I know her parents, they would talk to her a few weeks, you know, so worried. And I kept reminding Debbie and Doc, especially Debbie, the mama. She kept bringing it up. Doc was scared, too. He just was too tough to talk about it. But Debbie would keep talking. I said, look, remember what we did with David? We laid hands on him. We laid hands on him. Sent him forth in God's care. You got to remember that and trust that. And you've heard his story. He talked about it where the IED went off near him. He heard the click and it didn't detonate. See, God had him. It couldn't harm him because God had him. We gave David over to a higher power more than a general in an army or more than a mommy and daddy or more than a family or a church. We gave him to the King of Kings. God, you are enough to watch over him and bring him safely home. What peace that can give us when we truly let God have our life. To know, you know what, I just don't go worry about it. God, you've got it. And I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to rest in that. You know, the anxiety and depression, medication is on the rise in America. And because people are so stressed and they're overwhelmed with anxiety and they don't know how to deal with it. If we could just know, God, you're enough. God, you alone are enough in my life. He can give us a peace that no medication can truly give us. To know that you know that you know God's got you. There is no doubt about my future, not because I'm arrogant, but because I'm saved. No doubt about my future. Not because I'm a good person, but because I'm saved. To know where I'm going, to know where I'm going to be, to know this journey on earth cannot, as the Bible says, cannot compare to what God has waiting on me. Paul said that. Nothing on this earth compares to what I prepared for you. So you can endure it. You can endure it. I mean, think about this. If someone said, Stacy, you've got to, that might be a good example, you've got to sleep in this haunted house. It's really spooky. And if you sleep in it for 3 straight nights, you'll get $1 million. Would you do it? No, I would. Would anybody do that offer? You know what? We can endure our fears for $1 million, couldn't we? We could just close our eyes and speak in tongues all night if we had to. We would get that $1 million. I mean, we could put our headphones in and listen to Disney music, you know, Little Mermaid or something. I mean, we would do something. We could put a blindfold in our eyes and close our ears and cover up and not come out for 3 days, not eat or drink, just stay in one spot and pray. But for $1 million, we could endure that journey. A lot of us would. Same way, naturally. There are going to be hardships. But we, remember that movie Ghostbuster Chicken with Barney Fife? Let's talk about that. You need to show Sam that movie, Sari. Have you seen that movie? I know you hadn't, Sam. Sari, I know it has. You need to watch that movie. It's really good. It's got Barney Fife, Manny Griffith, Don Knotts. Oh, you haven't seen that one? Oh, I know. But that's a good movie. Ghostbuster Chickens. Old black and white movie. And he's staying in the haunted house, and he's real scared, and it's funny and all that. But anyway, we can enjoy our journey knowing where we're going. So you know what? Yeah, I'm going to have hardships. I'm going to have tragedy. I'm going to have maybe some sickness. I'm going to have some issues in life. But you know what? They're all temporary. Gosh, they are going to pass away quicker than we think they are. Think how fast your life goes the older you get. When you're in school, it goes forever. School goes forever, don't it? I bet you think I ain't going to never get out of school. I mean, not because you're not smart, because you're just young. I won't clarify that. He's passing all his grace. But when you're in school, it's like forever. So you're starting your senior year, right? My son's starting his senior year. You've been out of high school now, Christian, for what, three or four years? High school, really. Well, yeah, but you had a kind of different, well. Yeah, well, okay, anyway. When you're in school, it's forever. But once you get out of school, your life starts flying. All of a sudden, you're 21, then you're 25, then you're 30, and it's like, the older you get, the faster it goes. And now some of you are at the end of your natural life, or you got more years behind you than ahead of you in the natural. Not being discouraging, I'm just being honest.
It could be me too. I don't know. I'm just saying. We got more years behind us than we have ahead of us. But the good news about that is we're closer home. We're closer home. Anybody seen the movie Gladiator? You seen that, Sam? Okay, good. Gladiator. It's kind of a graphic movie, a lot of blood in it, but it's a really good movie. And toward the end of the movie, you know, it shows that scene of him entering really into, it's supposed to be heaven for him. His wife's waiting on him, his children. And in that dying process, he's seeing his family. They're young, they're beautiful, they've been, well, anyway. It's a great end. I don't want to tell you because you want to see it, but it's a great ending. And it shows that all the pain he suffered on earth and all that, now he was walking to his reward. That's our lives. Church, we've got a reward waiting on us. God's enough. Hang on to that. Trust that. Believe that. And let it just walk this earth with peace and joy and expectation that God, you're my sustainer every day. You've got what I need in my life. And I will trust you with that. You're enough. For the widow woman, he was enough. For Joseph, he was enough. For David, he was enough. For Daniel, he was enough. You know, for Elijah, he was enough. For Moses, he was enough. For Joshua, he was enough. He was enough for everything he touched. God was enough. It's all they needed. So, you know, there's a powerful prayer in Second Kings, and I think Sunday school teachers have taught this to the kids, the Tower of Babel. And when they were trying to worship the false god, and all the 70-some prophets, I think it was, were chanting out their god's name, and they were cutting themselves and dancing, trying to get their god to pour down fire. And nothing happened. Then Elijah come up. You can read it in the Bible. Elijah only said about 12 to 15 words that's recorded. And when he spoke those words, immediately the fire of God came down, sucked the water out of the trench, burned up their altars, and they saw who the real God was. The point of that was this: God was enough. He didn't have to go around chanting and cutting himself and begging for hours and hours. And even Elijah made fun of those false prophets. Says, "Your God asleep? Can't you wake him up?" Because they danced and chanted and hollered and cried and begged their God for hours and hours and hours to come down. Elijah comes out, says, "Lord God Almighty, show these people who you are. Come down and be God." Whew, it happened. Because God was enough. Didn't need a show. God is the show. God is the show. And if this is what needs to be taught and preached in this generation, that God that saved me is still the same God that saves our children today. It's not a dog and pony show. They don't have to be special effects. There just has to be God. God's enough. We should be bringing the world into church. We should be bringing the kingdom to the world. There's a difference. And God's still enough. So stand up for him and show people who you serve. And say, just let God have it. God is enough. Well, that's my message tonight. Any follow-up comments or anybody got anything on your heart before we close out tonight? Anything on your heart to share before we leave?